Elton John told a German magazine, he said, this is over a decade ago, but he said, I am gay and I wouldn't want to be heterosexual for all the money in the world. I've got enough money, I don't have to follow any rules. I don't have to be in the office from 9 to 5. I don't have to take the kids to school in the morning. It is a simply fantastic life when you don't have any parameters. It's brilliant. Now, at first glance, we're appalled at Elton John's comments. I mean, his embrace of sin, his flaunting of the privilege he has because of his great wealth, his disparaging assault on the traditional family. It bothers us when we hear that quote. But at the exact same time, there are many who want to embrace not his lifestyle, but the freedom he portrays there. This life with no boundaries. This idea that you can live without restriction, without parameters, without rules. So, some would think that is very attractive. And in fact, I would say that most of us at some point in our life has thought, well, that sounds great. The idea that I can decide everything for myself, that I can determine my own direction, the idea that I know what is best for me. Truth is, that's nothing new. From the very beginning, mankind had that idea. Adam and Eve had it made. They had it made. One boundary, one rule. And yet they still thought, I can determine what's best for me. I can determine my own direction. I know what will make me happy. The Israelites, they had it made. God had miraculously led them out of captivity right to the edge of a land that He had promised them. They had seen Him open up the sea and walk through on dry land. They had seen Him give them victory over an enemy that was far superior to them. And when they get to the edge of this promised land, even though God has been miraculously provided for them over and over and over again, they say, we're not going to do what God asks. I think we know better. Let's not go in there. Those guys are too big. Let's just hang out here. See if we can find another land to take. The rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. I want to be in the kingdom. I'm seeking what God wants from me. I want to have everything that He has to offer. This guy lived up to the law. He'd done all the things that he thought was expected of him. And then Jesus asked, He said, well, one last thing. Give up all your wealth and you will have joys untold. And he walks away from it. Can't do it. This morning, the call is to trust that God has your best in mind when He sets up boundaries for your life. The call this morning is the idea that God isn't just making rules to see if we'll follow Him, but He's protecting us and leading us into the very best life we could possibly have. I love what Jesus says in John 10:10. John 10:10, He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But then He says, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus comes to bring us an abundant life. Today we're going to continue on our trek toward a happy home. And today I want us to look at the healthy boundaries God has set up to protect our families. I hope that you all can agree with me that the family is worth fighting for. Hebrews 11 verse 7, talking about Noah says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. So he didn't even know what was coming, but he knew something was coming. He knew God had told him to do something he wasn't even aware could even happen. It says, in holy fear, build an ark to save his family. He fought for his family. 120 years, built an ark to save his family. Proverbs 11, verse 29 says this, whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind. The family's worth protecting. Unless you just want some wind in your pocket. My family's got a lot of wind. But that's a different topic. Mary Thomas was a single mom of 9 children living in Chicago's rough West Side neighborhood. 7 of Mary's 9 children were boys, young men constantly stretching the boundaries of their tired mother's authority and patience. One day in 1966, Mary opened her front door to find 25 street thugs on her stoop. The men were members of the notorious Vice Lords gang. And they had come to recruit Mary's 7 sons. Mary, hearing their intentions, dropped her gaze and said, "Oh, okay, hold on just a second," and closed the door behind her. When the door opened again, the first thing the Vice Lord saw was the barrel of a loaded shotgun. Mary said, "There's only one gang around here, and that's the Thomas gang." And with that same fortitude, Mary Thomas ushered each of her 9 gang members to their high school graduation. In fact, maybe you've heard of her youngest son. He played professional basketball and is in the Hall of Fame. His name is Isaiah Thomas. Mary knew what it meant to fight for family. Do we know what it means to fight for family? If we want our families to survive, if we want them to be the best that they can be, will we fight for family? Will we live in the boundaries that God has created? Will we try to strive for what God has set up for us? So what are the boundaries God has set up for us? I thought it was interesting last week, Michael had mentioned that if you look through the Bible, there's not a verse that's, you know, directly talking about blended families, because he had looked. If you look through the Bible, there's not a verse that says, here are the boundaries to a healthy, godly family. There's instructions about roles. There's instructions about how we should live. There's instructions about obedience and submission and honoring, and all those things would be great. But those are not the boundaries I want to look at today. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, this is what it says. So you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The boundary for the family is actually a single boundary. It's love. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, the sermon's going to be short because it's just about one boundary, love. But that's not exactly true, because love crosses across every area of our life. It touches everything about us. In fact, in Galatians, it tells us that the entire law is summed up with love. Think about that. No adultery in your family because you love your spouse too much. No murder in your family because you love your kids too much. No lying, no cheating, no coveting, because you love. In fact, love is the perfect boundary because love is from God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 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 So when we talk about the family this morning, we need to talk about the boundary of love and what that really looks like and how that protects and how that brings fulfillment and how we can be the God-designed families that He intends for us to be. With that in mind, I want to go to the love passage in the Bible. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We always talk about it, but as we talk about it, I want to change the word love in that passage to family, because I believe these are the boundaries by which a family prospers and is protected and lives up to the design that God has given us. So let me read it with my italics included. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it says, family is patient. Family is kind. It does not envy it. It does not boast. It is not proud. Does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Family does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Family never fails. What we're looking at, if you take that love passage and you apply it to family, what you're looking at is the ideal family. With perfect boundaries on how to fellowship with each other, commune with each other, live with each other. Now I want to caution you for a moment, because none of us live there. None of us are in that family. None of us. Not even the best family that there is lives up to those boundaries. But that's where we should all be striving to be. Right there in the midst of godly boundaries. As I look at this text, it looks like to me there's three different categories of these boundaries I want to look at this morning. The first is this, that family is affirming. Family is affirming. Patient, kind, rejoices in the truth. Let me ask you a question. Do those words describe your family? Does your family look like an affirming, encouraging organism together that just providing the support system behind you? Or do we in our families need to grow? Are we positive and supportive? And do we celebrate godly victories? For many people, they never knew a family like this. That's not how their family grew up. Their family was more like this. Instead of lifting you up, their family tore you down. Then they would say, well, I'm tearing you down so I can build you up. Well, no, you're just tearing them down. You just know how to tear people down. In some people's family, there's more ridicule than support. There's more competition than celebration. But the truth is, God wants family to encourage and support one another. In fact, if you go all the way back to the very beginning, the very first family, Adam and Eve, was started on the idea that they needed each other, a helper, someone to provide and help you in your life. Ever since then, family has been given that responsibility to help one another, to affirm, to encourage, to support one another. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you look at the context of that passage, you will realize that it's really talking about a financial provision, you know, taking care of someone's physical needs. But I want you to understand that concept goes much farther than that. It goes beyond just the physical. It goes into the emotional and the spiritual. It is about how we interact with each other as well. I mean, the idea, we should be providing that as well. I watched a movie the other day. It's called The Judge. Came out in 2014. Hank Palmer, played by Robert Downey Jr., is a brilliant but shady attorney. He returns to his Indiana hometown because his mother has passed away. And his arrival triggers this tension between himself and his father, the judge, Joseph Palmer, played by Robert Duvall. He disapproves of Hank's morally ambiguous career. He's not happy with his son. The son prepares to depart, and as he's getting ready to leave, his father's arrested for a hit-and-run death. And so Hank returns and puts on his father's defense despite the objections of this resentful old man. Now, as I watch this movie, I realize that the entire movie is really a story of Hank and the judge trying to work their way back to each other. Both son and father have been alienated, and they're looking for this relationship where they can affirm one another. And even through their monumental stubbornness, which they both are extremely stubborn in the movie, they keep trying to reach out to each other, hoping to find a relationship that we all so desperately seek from our family. I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but I do want to tell you, if you're reaching out for that relationship, that family of affirmation, don't wait for them to start affirming you. Start affirming them. Start being patient. Start being kind. Start celebrating the truth with them. And then see if they won't respond in kind. The first boundary is family is affirming. The second boundary is family is serving. I love this. It says no envying, no boasting, no pride, no selfishness, no anger. Just serving and forgiving. God says, the parameters by which I want you to operate as a family, I want you to want what is best for other people and to help make that happen for them. I want you to serve them. I want you to help them. I want you to promote them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. I think that's the perfect picture of a family. They're more important than me. Almost every family breakup I know of starts on the other side of the coin. They make it all about themselves. What are you going to do for me? What is best for me? How does this benefit me? Divorce and runaway and animosity and silence and avoidance all starts with, what are you going to do for me? When we're self-serving, eventually the only one that matters is ourself. We see everything through the eyes of how does it affect me? What is it going to do for me? Rather than, how does it affect others? What is it going to do for them? See, family should be the opposite. Family should always be about serving other people. Family forgives quickly. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Forgive quickly. If you have a problem with your spouse, with your sibling, with your child, forgive quickly. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life. Family focuses on what I can do to help you. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We help each other. We love each other. Family sets aside self. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Family serves. You need to ask yourself this morning, where can I serve more? How can I make it easier on my family? Who do I need to forgive? Because family serves. The last boundary or parameter for a family I want to look at today is that family is unwavering. I love that description at the end of that. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. Isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want unwavering security, unfailing love, a place where we know that we will be accepted? I listen to that description and my mind immediately goes to the prodigal son. He thought he knew what was best. Hey, give me my money. Give me my inheritance, Dad. I want to go do what I want to do. And he did. And he lived how he wanted. And he embraced sin and all sorts of ill thought out ventures until there was nothing left. And when he came back to his father, you don't see the father scolding him or lecturing him. What you see is a father who is happy to embrace him, takes off his ring and welcomes him home, kills the fatted calf and has a party. He is unwavering in his love for his child. God designs family to be there. Even when we mess up. Even when we deliberately sin, even when we walk away and abandon them, family welcomes us home. In fact, I would take it one step farther, because I believe Jesus paints this powerful picture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He's talking to Christians when he says this. He says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Not only are we waiting to welcome them home, but we're actively seeking them out to bring them home. Who do you need to seek out? Who do you need to persevere with? Where do you need to be unwavering? Where do you need to let go of the past and tell someone, "I'm glad you're my family. I'm going to treat you like family. I'm going to love you like family." By the way, we're not talking just about blood family here. We're also talking about faith family too. It's not just about your blood relatives. It's about your faith family. Who in your church family do you need to do the same thing for? Maybe you've seen him. I have a little dog. His name is Ivan. He runs around the backyard almost all the time if he's out. If you come up to him, he won't come out of the yard. He won't come down onto the pavement usually anyway. He has a collar around him with a big black box on it. I don't know if you know what that is. That's an invisible fence. I've got a box inside the house. It sends out a signal. He can walk in the middle of that signal anywhere he wants. Doesn't do anything. But the minute he gets to the edge of that signal, that little box on his neck beeps. Beep. He knows what that beep means, because if he stays out there, that little box decides to, beeping ain't enough. So now shocking must come. And he didn't like shocking. He got shocking once and he lit him up. Now you might think I'm cruel. I keep my dog in this little area, this fenced in area, this boundary. I'm not cruel at all. I love that little dog. I take care of him. I feed him. I pet him. I play with him. I take him to the vet. He gets better medical treatment than I do. And he costs more than I do. If he goes outside that fence, which he can eventually run out of there. That battery will eventually wear out and he can go do whatever he wants. But you know what happens outside that fence? You might think it's freedom over there. He might think it's freedom over there. But if he gets out in the road, he could get hit and killed, dead. He could run over to someone's yard and start messing around and their dog kill him. Or they might just shoot him or steal him. Sometimes we think that outside of the boundaries there's freedom, but that's not always true. In fact, in this case, it's not true at all. Inside the boundaries where real freedom is. Because we have a Heavenly Father who's taking care of us, who's providing us, who's looking after our needs, who wants the best for us. He says, "Stay here. This is where it's best. You can choose to go out there, but you're not going to find what you're looking for. Stay in here. And you'll find real joy in family." Today you have a choice to make. Are you going to strive to be the best family you can be? I know none of us are going to live up to the perfect example of family, but are we going to strive? Are we going to do it God's way? Are we going to stay in these boundaries that He has established, affirming and serving and unwavering? Or do we think we can do it better? I challenge you to do it God's way and see how He blesses you.